This is transactional entertainment lawyer Joshua Lasteen, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Meet Grimlock, not podcaster, meet Grimlock King!
Hello everyone, this is TFG and Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network. This is the pull bag, episode 564 to 569. You're going to hear this exact same clip in all of these episodes. These are syndicated episodes from my buddy Jesse Early's podcast, Another Comic Review. We have already released these over on his podcast, and because it's the end of the year 2024, and I need some content for the pullbag, I am syndicating them here. They are in their unaltered entirety as they appear on Another Comic Review. So please, have a listen. This is G.I. Joe and Void Rivals. You'll hear those comics being reviewed in episodes 564 to 569, only on the Geekcast Radio Network's The Pullbag. Thanks for listening.
This is Another Comic Review, episode 29, recorded September 1st, 2024. Welcome to Another Comic Review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello.
So we are not here to discuss Destro number 4. Oh no, we are here to talk about Void Rivals number 12 by Kirkman, DeFelice, Del Pesce, and Wooten. Quick synopsis from ImageComics.com. After what they've endured in the wasteland, are Derek and Salila now destined to walk separate paths? Where Salila goes now, Derek cannot follow, or can he? What will Springer's final fate be, and what are the Quintessons planning now? My quick rundown, we open with the Zirtonian leaders Dullin and Zalilik discussing the scare of unification and how Derek and Salila are still alive. After the conversation ends, a scientist seeks out Zalilik and informs him that they have analyzed the data pad from the wasteland and that it contains a remarkable discovery. Ooh. Elsewhere in the Sacred Ring, we see that Proximus is very much alive, though missing some limbs. He is found and befriended by a boy named Ultim, who sits down by his side. In the wasteland, Derek and Salila have a brief conversation before we cut to Monacus, where we see Skexoid fleeing from Lord Gaikoni as he is completing a job for Bosch. Back in the wasteland, Salila begins to head out on her own, but Derek stops her and hands over Handroid, feeling she will need it more than him. The two share a moment and touch foreheads, causing the jewels in their foreheads to clink together. We end looking at the Sacred Ring in space, where we see a swirling center. Within the eye, we see a giant mechanical being shrouded mostly in shadow. As we zoom in, we see large glowing green eyes open before finally closing once again. Thoughts and review. Void Rivals number 12.
What an ending. Holy crap. My first, the first thing I noticed in this was when we get to Proximus and the kid that's with him, and there's the panel where the kid tells him what his name is. I'm Ultim. Can we hide together, Proximus? Proximus is like, sure, kid. My first thought was, rough out there, kid. It's like Springer in my head talking to Daniel from the movie before he gets the exosuit. Like, that's what that whole scene to me is. The rest of this is amazing. The art's great. The story's great. I never thought I'd feel sorry for the Skuxoid, but kind of feeling sorry for the Skuxoid a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, like, several issues ago, right, he returned home, and he was, like, expecting his wife and kid to be there, and it's like, oh, clearly something happened, right, and they're not there. And then in this, it's like, he's asking, like, what's it all for? Like, he's, like, super down, like, contemplating life. It's like, what's going on with this guy?
Again, Skuxoid was always just, like, we've known for 40 years, I do these jobs for my wife and kids. Yeah. And that's great. Sure, fine. You want to be a bounty hunter for your wife and kids to support them, whatever. That's all well and good. But, like, this comic has given him more characterization in 40 years than that cartoon ever did.
100%. 100%.
I love the scenes between Derek and Salila. I think that's really, really cool. I love the two, like, their heads touching, where it's not really romantic, but it's an emotional connection to, especially if you've been with somebody that long, kind of like having to deal with life with them. All of this, it's like I said, it's not a romantic partnership, but it's a friendship type of thing. It's a caring type of thing. And this whole sacred ring thing, going through that and turning to black, and we end on these giant green eyes. I think this is because of the jewels in their heads touching. I think it's them seeing a vision of what's going to happen when you go through the sacred ring. And that's where we see the eyes at the end. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I almost pictured it as though, right, the connection of those two jewels touching is kind of what is awakening this thing, whatever this thing happens to be.
Yeah, but right. But like, the reason why I say it's a vision for them is because they are connected and then they separate and we see the eyes watch. I don't know. I thought it was looking at it now, it looks like it. The scene is connected, but maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I want to circle back on that here, but mm-hmm. I guess anything else regarding your thoughts on this issue?
Oh, it was a good finale. It was an interesting, you know, this is the way finale should be. Leave us on a cliffhanger for the next issue coming next month.
Yeah, I absolutely love this issue. I know right at the very beginning of starting this podcast, I talked about specifically in this series, right, where it's like, oh, right, there's certain issues that have a lot of action in them, and then there's some that don't have much of anything in it, or it's really just kind of there to kind of, move the story forward just a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like this issue, very similar to that. However, I absolutely love this issue, despite the fact it doesn't have a lot of action in it. It feels like, right, because this is the end of this arc,
yep.
It almost feels like we're in the middle of the story. I want to mm-hmm. kind of liken it to almost Star Wars.
A little bit, yeah. So,
kind of in the middle of Empire Strikes Back, where everyone kind of separates, right? They got separate teams. They're kind of doing their own thing, going their own way. That's almost yep. what this sort of feels like, is they're kind of separating, right? Because Derek and Salila are obviously physically separating and kind of doing their own thing. Derek is going off with Springer. And yeah, it seems like they're going to separate at some point. Obviously, they're going to come back together. But I do like the fact that in this particular issue, again, not a lot of action. It was a lot of downtime for all of our characters. And it just seems like it's kind of a kickoff to what's coming here in the next story arc.
Right. Not going too far. I'm not going to go into the solicits for the next two issues. But I'll say this. From reading those, what you're saying here about how this is kind of like the planning episode, the planning issue, we have to go do this and we have to go do that. And we all have our separate jobs to do before we can come back together. This leaves it open to the point where we know by the end of this issue, what Derek and Springer's mission is, what Salila's mission is, and what the other characters like Skuxoid and them are doing. So we know exactly what they're going to have to do. But it leaves it on a plane where we don't need a conclusion to this, or we don't need to see the next step of this, because this is the end of the story arc. This allows Mr. Kirkman and everybody at Skybound to then start a new story arc in 13 with a new character that we've never seen before. We've only maybe seen once or twice kind of thing. So it's 12 is a perfect way to end a story arc in my mind.
Yeah, and I like that the primary focus is mainly on Derek and Salila, right? We get one panel, not even one page, but one panel on one page that has anything to do with Springer on it, right? So he's not like mm-hmm. in multiple pages. It's just like one panel and yep. that's it. And then the rest of the focus is on Derek and Salila.
Derek, Salila, and the rest of the two races of the Sacred Ring, because you have Proximus and that whole right. thing at the beginning.
Right.
It's the focus is on the Void Rivals characters, which is what it should be. I'm not saying I don't want to see Springer in this. We've seen him in issues 9, 10, and 11. You know, we've seen him throughout this entire story arc. kind of thing, or I'm sure we've seen him in more than that, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying we've seen enough of him, but the way this story is going, like we've already said, this is the setup, the what's next and where is everybody going next kind of thing. And it's really awesome and it's really fun.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I love this particular issue. When we got to, what's his name here? It is Lord Gaikoni.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where did we see this character before? And he's from the original Transformers cartoon episode, The Gambler. Which,
that's right, yep.
In my rewatch of that series, my daughter and I are rewatching that series. We're not up to that episode yet.
Yeah, no, that's season 3.
Yeah. So we're like almost to the end of season 2. So we haven't gotten to that yet. But I completely forgot about that character until I saw him in this issue. And I'm like, where did I see him before? So I looked him up. And yeah, he's from a single episode called The Gambler.
Yep. And I think that's what's cool about Void Rivals introducing various Transformers characters in this arc specifically. Between this arc and the Free Comic Book Day issue that we did, was it this year? This year. I keep forgetting it's September. It feels like it's not, doesn't feel like 2024 is almost over, but it is. We saw Hot Rod and we saw some other people, and we have Springer here with us now. Like, I absolutely love that Daniel Warren Johnson's story arcs for Transformers are specifically sort of 84, 85, season 1, season 2 Transformers. Whereas Void Rivals, they can throw in season 3 stuff because it's in space. Season 3 was in space between Cybertron and all these other planets and whatever. So this is essentially like a season 3.5 for Transformers before the rebirth kind of thing. And yeah, I didn't remember that character at all. I had to look it up myself. I was like, oh, right. And it would make sense that Skuxoid would be working for somebody like that.
Yep.
And it would be it's nice that we have essentially two Transformers references amongst all of the characterization for where the Void Rivals characters are going to go as this story progresses into the next arc.
So circling back here to the end with the glowing green eyes, what do you think this thing is?
I don't know. So, okay, let's break this down. So I'm going to start on the Sacred Ring page, where it's the three panels, and you get closer and closer, okay?
Yep.
We then have this giant-looking, I want to say it looks like a blacked-out, the bottom of it kind of looks like a word balloon thing, like you would see when somebody is speaking, but the rest of it kind of looks like a fluffy cat ball toy that a cat would play with or something. Like, serious, look at the thing. Like, literally, the top of that, it looks like there's, I know there's not fur on it, but it looks like there's fur on it. And then we see this character of whoever this is. We see this city-type thing, and then we see these eyes, and it's like, who the hell is that? And we see the eyes again, and then what I love is they basically leave us on a basic, especially if you're using the guided view, folks, if you're using the guided view on your mobile device, whether it's a smartphone or a tablet or whatever, literally it's a black page. Like, you see Derek and Salila doing their final goodbye after they are not touching heads anymore. You see the giant green eyes, you see them like narrow, and then it ends on a black page and goes in to talk to the android for the rest of the whatever. Like, wow, what a way to end an issue. Like, holy crap, talk about, I'm coming back in October to read the next one kind of thing. Not that I wasn't going to do that anyway, but like someone who has never read this before, who is maybe
right.
Like, let's say there's somebody out there who's anywhere from late 20s to mid 40s that has never read a comic before and is going into a comic shop and they know they like stuff like Star Wars or Star Trek or space things, you know, stuff like outer space type stuff. If I was working in a comic shop, I would recommend that person check out Void Rivals. And if they've been on the same journey we've been on with these first two story arcs, holy crap, do I want to come back? Or that person should want to come back for the next story arc, because I don't know, man. This is awesome. This is so cool. I'm loving this. This is great.
So your cat toy description, I would almost describe it as sort of brain-shaped. And
okay.
Then at the bottom, it's almost got like manta ray like wings.
Okay, I can go with that.
Because if you look, right, it's symmetrical. There's actually two of those wings, or whatever they are, down at the bottom there, whatever, right? One on each side.
Yeah, whatever they are. Yeah.
And
it's probably some sort of spaceship or some sort of city planetoid or something, because it gives a close-up, before we get to the glowing green eyes, on the top two panels there, it gives a close-up of what it supposedly is. It's some sort of ship or something. Or I don't, dude, it's a rockeroid.
Well, so that was going to be my question for you. Not rockeroid, but do you think this is a ship? Or do you think this is a giant transformer? The reason I ask is, so where you see the eyes light up, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's got like, it's almost like those points are like ears or something, right? Part of what would be a head.
Yep.
And then I'm on page 22.
I know where you are. Yeah, I know where you are. Yep.
Yeah, so the second panel there, right, we see like a small green eye. And then when we get to the third panel, we don't see any more of what is the outline of this thing. We just see the eyes. So it's almost like, right, if we're the camera, we're like zooming in, and all we see now are just the eyes. So I'm almost wondering if like that portion of whatever this thing is part of a head, and we're seeing the eyes open on it. Or do you think it's like a robot or something, some sort of being up there, and it's just kind of hidden in the darkness, right? And we're just seeing its eyes. I guess, what was your take on that?
Yeah, it could be any of what you've just said. It could be anything of what we've just discussed. I don't know. And my first thought was, when you said planetoid, I'm like, it's too early. And he doesn't have, well, he technically does have glowing green eyes, except he lost both of them in the movie. It can't be Unicron. It just can't. It's too early. You don't want, no. And I think the shape, like you said, it has these wings at the bottom kind of thing. And I want to remain kind of neutral on it, because I want to actually find out what it is. But the whole mystery of it, of trying to figure it out, it's like, I still don't know. And I'm just
So I speculated for just a couple of seconds about, right, could it be Unicron? But right, because he's got like those big horn things that stick out on the side. I'm like, but those are facing down in this particular drawing that we're looking at here. Illustration, sorry. And he would of course have like a ring around him, and we don't see any sort of ring around him. And if you look on the right-hand side of, again, whatever this thing is, right, there are highlights there right on the edge. So even if there was a ring kind of hidden in the darkness there, I think we would still see a highlight on the edge of that ring, which we're not seeing here. So I think it's safe to assume it's probably not Unicron.
No, they wouldn't.
But I do think it is some sort of robot.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So then do you think if that's the case, let's assume that's the case, right? Let's go with that for a second. Mm-hmm. If this is a robot, do you think it's going to be something brand new that we haven't seen introduced before?
I'm actually hoping it is, because like I said, what they've done, they've created these new characters. They've created this new story. And they've sprinkled in little bits and pieces, like this issue specifically, Skuxoid and the dude from The Gambler, whatever. Like, those are two references that most regular people who have never seen Transformers Season 3 are probably never going to get. But for people like us who are going to get it, it's that subtlety. Again, wake up, Mike. It all goes back to being subtle in the subtlety of the storytelling in this series. They are not overpowering it they're not beating us over the head with the Transformers references. Mr. Kirkman is doing it the correct way and giving us little things here and there. And the focus is Derek, Salila, and the other Zertonians and Aragorians, or whatever their name is for Derek's race. So I actually do hope it is something new. I hope it isn't just, we gave Cyclonus a different green eyes instead of whatever eye color he actually had. Like, I hope it isn't a Transformers thing. I hope it's something totally new.
You don't think it's Primus, do you?
If they're not going to bring in Unicron this early, I don't think they're bringing Primus this early. That would be a really bad mistake.
I mean, maybe this is all we see of this character until, like, you know, three more story arcs down the road.
Maybe. Oh.
I guess I don't, because my main introduction or knowledge of Transformers comes from the G1 cartoon. So in that, as far as I know, Primus is not Cybertron. I think.
Yeah. No.
But in the comics...
In the comics, he is.
Okay, in the comics, he is.
I think. I don't remember. I don't like the Marvel G1 comics, so I didn't. Sorry, not sorry, folks. I'm not a fan.
All right. So I guess I only said that to say, right, we already know Cybertron exists elsewhere. So mm-hmm. if there's were Primus, obviously they're not the same thing.
I would assume so, yeah.
But yeah, I'm very curious to know if what we're seeing eyes-wise is like an actual bean on whatever this thing is, or if this thing is the bean itself, and the eyes are just part of a head peeking out of whatever this mode is.
Mm-hmm.
Planetoid mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so again, absolutely love this. I'm looking forward. So as I was telling Mike kind of offline before we started, I just picked up volume 1 of Void Rivals. I plan on picking up volume 2. Really enjoying this series. And after picking up volume 1 of Transformers and reading that first story arc kind of, you know, all in one sitting, I really enjoyed doing that in a sitting because you get the full story. As opposed to the month to month, which we've been doing with single issues. And I know you've explained that in the past, like that's kind of how you like to read. And I'm sort of on board with that.
I mean, it doesn't allow. So this is why when I started the Pullbag over on Geekcast Radio 11 and a half years ago, why I wanted the show to be more than just, hey, here's our weekly comics, or hey, here's this review or that review, and we've worked in other discussion points and other things where we could actually have other comic book type discussions without having to review something kind of thing. And yeah, I moved to trade reviewing and just waiting for the trade after about the third year of the podcast, because like I've said before in other episodes here, and I've said for the last 11 and a half years, I want the whole story, at least the whole, like, first, like, again, Transformers Volume 1 is the first story arc, Void Rivals Volume 1 is the first story arc, Volume 2 is the second story. Like, I want the whole story arc. I hate the month-to-month-to-month thing as a podcaster, as someone who's trying to cover this and not just say, like I said earlier, I'm like, okay, give me issue 13 now. Like, don't make me wait until October 23rd of 2024. Right. I want it next Wednesday. Like, right. Give it to me now.
Yeah,
I get it. I've been doing this long enough. I get it. That's not how comics work. I understand that because the creators need time to write and draw and color and letter and all. I get it. That's why comics are monthly and not. Most of the time, they're not weekly. Sometimes some comic book companies try to be insane and do a weekly series, but not a lot of them do that. And it's only for special things that they try to do that for. But yeah, no, like, because probably what I'm going to end up doing is, and I've said this already, I've republished our G.I. Joe stuff, and I've republished our Void Rivals stuff that we've already done on the Pullbag, and I've just basically bookended the episode that you upload. So I don't change anything. I just add the Pullbag opening and closing to it. And it's one of those things where when we get to the point of getting to trades, I'm probably just going to have you on that show. And we're just going to discuss the overall reading experience for you reading in trade versus this single issue stuff. Cause man, waiting sucks. Like I can wait for the whole story, but having like I said, right. A minute ago, I want issue 13 this Wednesday. I don't want it next month. I want it now.
Yeah. Well, you're not getting it next month either. So,
well, yeah, it's September already. So
oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. We're recording on September 1st. Sorry. The calendar did change. So on that note, you have previews for 13 and 14.
Yes, I do. October 23rd, 2024. Void Rivals number 13. New story arc. Pythonia of Cobra Law ventures deep into space. Will her missions spell certain doom for the Void Rivals? Dun dun dun. The main cover is what I assume is this character, Pythonia. The alternate covers are it's one of Derek Salila and Pythonia. And there's another one where it's
Pythona.
Pythona, whatever. There's a third one where it's Derek and Salila, and it looks like they're either fighting or being knocked back by an explosion. There's one with Springer, so Springer and Derek, so we know that Springer's alive. And then there's a blank cover. Now the blank cover stuff, that's for like if you go to a convention and you want, say, who's the main artist on this? Come on, Mike, get your stuff together over here.
Yeah, like, say you,
yeah, I was right. Yeah. So let's say you wanted Lorenzo Di Felici or somebody that has worked on Void Rivals. Let's say you wanted them to draw you a sketch for like a commission type of thing. That's why they have the Void Rivals, any comic book actually, why they do the blank covers. And then coming November 27th, 2024, Void Rivals number 14. Derek isn't back in Agoria for one day before they send him back out into space to get shot at. Derek's loyalty to Agoria is put to the test as he's forced to prove himself. The main cover is, I believe it's of his ship or something. I don't know. And alternate covers, there's one where I don't think that's Celila. I think that's a new character, because it doesn't look like Celila. There's one with Derek and his ship that kind of reminds me of G1 style. Like if the Void Rivals were in the G1 cartoon. Like, literally, that's what that second cover in the middle there reminds me of.
That's definitely Celila.
Oh, is it? Okay, good. And then the third one reminds me also of a different G1 style kind of thing, too. But yeah, Void Rivals 13 and 14, October 23rd and November 27th, 2024. $3.99 cover price. Trust me, folks, the $4 per issue is worth the admission.
And while we don't have the preview text for 15 yet, there is a cover out.
Oh, is there? I didn't know that.
Want to guess who's on it?
Springer.
Nope.
Hot Rod.
We're going to see our buddy Hot Rod again.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, see, that's not... Where is that? Because that's not on... Okay. Oh, League of Comic Geeks. Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Huh. Cool.
Also, a thing to note, which I saw on this website, by the way, and didn't recognize it at first. If you look on the cover for everything up to this point for issues 1 through 12,
mm-hmm.
Up underneath the Skybound logo, it's mm-hmm. been Derek, and now starting with issue 13 at Celila. Yeah.
So technically it does have text for Void Rivals number 15. Hot Rod comes to the Sacred Ring. That's the solicit. That's all you need. That's all you need.
That's all we need.
Oh God, I cannot wait. This next story arc, folks, like I'm already like in my head wondering what 13, 14, and now 15 are going to be like, because the first 12 issues we've maybe had, I want to say out of 12 single issue comic books, we've probably had maybe 25 different criticisms. The rest of it has all been praise for the most part between the two of us. Could be wrong.
Something like that, sure.
I don't know. I don't know what the math is on that, but... But yeah, damn. Yeah, I'm really loving this series.
Yeah, I mean, this is far and above anything coming out of the Destro series.
Well, we don't count Destro. Destro is Destro matters not anymore.
Yeah. My biggest question is I'm very curious to see when this links up. Again, right, we saw the very first issue with Jetfire.
Mm-hmm.
Skyfire? Jetfire.
Jetfire.
We saw the connection there with Transformers, but I want to know when Transformers is going to connect over here to Void Rivals. I'm not talking about just the characters, right? Because obviously there's Transformer characters in Void mm-hmm. Rivals right now.
You're talking the series.
Yeah, when the series is going to connect and when there's going to be some sort of crossover there.
I kind of like that it doesn't. I kind of like that the Earthbound Transformers series is the Earthbound Transformers series, and we have these characters amongst the Agorians and the Zertonians for the Void Rivals characters with mix-ins of all the other Transformers characters that are in and out of space. I mean, if they do eventually cross over with the Earthbound teams, or however that works, especially with the Daniel Warren Johnson series doing the Ultimate Doom and bringing Cybertron to Earth, I'm sure at some point there'll be some sort of crossover, but I'm loving that it doesn't so far. And I don't know if we mentioned this in the last episode or not, but we do know, we have confirmed that Daniel Warren Johnson's only getting 24 issues for his full arc for Transformers. So issue 25 will be a brand new writer for Transformers for Skybound Entertainment.
Yeah, we've only got 12 more issues with him.
It's okay.
Wah, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine, dude. Trust me.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, it doesn't need to cross over, I guess. I just want to know. I assume at some point it's going to link up, right? Obviously, the Energon universe. I think we'll see crossover more with Transformers and G.I. Joe sooner than we will Transformers and Void Rivals, other than, like I said, the characters we've already seen inside of Void Rivals. But I think at some point it will crossover. Maybe it won't. If it doesn't, I would be perfectly okay with that as well. Just seeing some characters come in and not necessarily tie in the main storylines, but maybe at some point we'll see Unicron and all hell will break loose and everyone will come together. I don't know. Maybe that's how you bring the three series together.
Unicron. It's always Unicron. What I'm assuming is that because at issue 13 it is a new story arc, they are changing artists again. Jason Howard is listed as the artist, even though Jorge Corona has cover B and cover C. So
yeah, he's coming back though.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Yeah, no. Artists and writers always come back for stuff, but wait, what? Why would you? Okay. Image Comics, you guys got to get your shit together because you have issue 12 that says end of story arc. You still have issue 14 that says end of story arc. Stop it, Image. God. I only clicked over here to see if the. Yeah, Jason Howard's on this and. I'm loving that Astro Train cover for 14. That's amazing.
14 I have not seen that cover.
But if you look at the third final, like you got a top secret cover, but the third one on the right, it's like 3D retro Optimus Prime. I'm loving that. It's like the 80s have come back 40 years later. That's so cool.
I'm also looking at issue 13. And one of the, what is this? This is the... retailer exclusives.
Okay.
I don't know if that plays, that probably doesn't mean anything, right? Because I think it's,
yeah, so
I don't think it means anything, but yeah, but so, Megatron is on one of those. This is Megatron holding his fusion cannon to Prime's head.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't see that.
I'll send it to you here.
Okay. But yeah, no, folks, Skybound Entertainment, the Hasbro license that they've got and what they're doing. Yeah, no, that's not on the Image Comics website. Holy crap, that's amazing.
Oh, no, that's not on Image Comics. This is on the League of Comic Geeks. Oh,
okay, I was going to say, because that's where I got the other comic covers from, is from the Image Comics website. But no, that's awesome. That looked great. Wow. Cool.
So the reason I said I don't think it matters, because, well, one, he's got his arms back, apparently. Mm-hmm. But there's another retailer exclusive that has Jetfire in robot mode. And we know he's stuck in jet mode and crash landed somewhere that no one seems to give a shit about. So.
Yep. Poor Jetfire. He just can't catch a break.
Poor Jetfire. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's it. You got anything else?
No, just head on over to geekcastradio.com. We've got 15 years, 15 and a half years of content and bunch of stuff over there that we're doing, so check us out over there. Transformers is looking up for comics, folks.
All right, I guess that was your plug.
There you go.
Find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. I am Jesse Early on Blue Sky, and I think that's it. You got your Transformers sound ready this time? No? All right, so till next time, this is Jesse signing off.
All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Pullbag. Check us out next time when we'll be doing more syndicated episodes here at the end of 2024. Make your greatest game to comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts.
You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.